जमुना तेरा बना छारे जमुना तेरा बना छारे जया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जया राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य आस्तो तरशत शिष्य माधे सेवाइंग ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य आस्तो तरशत शिष्य माधे सेवाइंग ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथ राशि मम भागवत की निताई गौर प्रेमानंदी ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरीस टू शिशि गुरु वंशी गौरंगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 द समन बोनन चैप्टर 7 द किलिंग ऑफ द डीमन त्रिनिवार्ता टेक्स्ट 1 एंड 2 बट फर्स्ट I'm going to read Srila Prabhupada's summary of chapter 7. In this chapter, Sri Krishna's pastimes of breaking the card, Shakata Banjana, killing of the asura known as Trinivarta, and demonstrating the entire universe within his mouth are especially described. When Sukadev Goswami saw that Maharaj Parikshit was eagerly waiting to hear about Lord Krishna's pastime as a child, he was very much pleased, and he continued to speak. When Sri Krishna was only 3 months old and was just trying to turn backside up, before he even attempted to crawl, Mother Yasoda wanted to observe a ritualistic ceremony with her friends for the good fortune of the child. Such a ritualistic ceremony is generally performed with ladies who also have small children. When Mother Yasoda saw that Krishna was falling asleep because of other engagements, she put the child underneath a household cart called Shakata. And while the child was sleeping, she engaged herself in other business pertaining to the auspicious ritualistic ceremony. Underneath the car was a cradle, and Mother Yasoda placed the child in the cradle. The child was sleeping, but suddenly he awakened and, as usual for a child, began to kick his small legs. The kicking shook the car, which collapsed with a great sound, breaking completely and spilling all its contents. Children who were playing nearby immediately informed Mother Yasoda that the car had broken, and therefore she hastily arrived there in great anxiety with the other gopis. Mother Yasoda immediately took the child on her lap and allow him to suck her breasts. Then various types of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies were performed with the help of the brahmanas. Not knowing the real identity of the child, the brahmanas showered the child with blessings. Another day, when Mother Yasoda was sitting with her child on her lap, she suddenly observed that he had assumed the weight of the entire universe. She was so astonished that she had put the child down. And in the meantime, Trinivarta, one of the servants of Kamsa, appeared as a whirlwind and took the child away. The whole tract of land known as Gokula became surcharged with dust, and no one could see where the child has been taken. And all the gopis were overwhelmed because he has been taken away in the dust storm. But up in the sky, the Asura, being overburdened by the child, could not carry the child far away, although he also could not drop the child because the child had caught him so tightly that it was difficult for him to separate the child from his body. Thus Trinivarta himself fell down from a very great height, the child grasping him tightly by the shoulder, and immediately died. The demon having fallen, the gopis picked the child up and delivered him to the lap of Mother Yasoda. Thus Mother Yasoda was struck with wonder. But because of Yoga Maya's influence, no one could understand who Krishna was and what had actually happened. Rather, everyone began to praise fortune for the child's having been saved from such a calamity. Nanda Maharaj, of course, was thinking of the wonderful foretelling of Vasudeva and began to praise him as a great yogi. Later, when the child was on the lap of Mother Yasoda, the child yawned, and Mother Yasoda could see within his mouth the entire universal manifestation. Text number 1 and 2. Sri Raja Uvacha Jena Jena Vatarena Bhagavan Harir Ishwaraha Karoti Karma Ramyani Mano Gyani Chana Prabho. Sri Raja Uvacha Jena Jena Avatarena Bhagavan Harir Ishwaraha Karoti Karma Ramyani Mano Gyani Chana Prabho. Sri Raja Uvacha Jena Jena Avatarena Bhagavan Hari Ishwaraha Karoti Karna Ramyani Mano Gyani Chana Prabho. Please chant. Karoti karma ramyani Mano gyani chana prabho. Jachivanto paiti aratir brishti. Let me see how is it. Jachivanto paiti aratir britishna shatvanchasu dhyatiyade achirena punsha. Bhaktir harauta puruse chasakyam tad evaharam badamanasyet. Manasya sechet Sri Raja Uvacha. The king inquired from Sukadev Goswami. Yena yena avatarena. The pastime exhibited by different varieties of incarnations. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Harihi, the Lord. Ishwaraha, the Controller. Karoti, presents. Karnyaramyani, were all very pleasing to hear. Sorry, is were all very pleasing to the ear. Managyani, very attractive to the mind. Cha, also. Naha, of us. Prabho, my Lord Sukadev Goswami. Yatsrimbataha, of anyone who simply hears these narrations. Apaiti, vanishes. Aratihi, unattractiveness. Vrishna, the dirty things within the mind that makes us uninterested in Krishna consciousness. Satvancha, the existential position in the core of the heart. Sudyati, becomes purified. Achirena, very soon. Punsaha, of any person. Bhakti harao, devotional attachment and service to the Lord. Tat puruṣe, with Vaishnavas. Cha, also. Sakyam, attraction to association. Tat eva, that only. Haram, the activities of the Lord, which should be heard and kept on the neck as a garland. Vada, kindly speak. Maniase, you think it fit. Chet, if. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. King Parikshit said, my Lord, Sukadev Goswami, all the various activities exhibited by the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Ayas are certainly pleasing to the ear and to the mind. Simply by one's hearing of these activities, the dirty things in one's mind immediately vanish. Generally, we are reluctant to hear about the activities of the Lord. But Krishna's childhood activities are so attractive that they are automatically pleasing to the mind and ear. Thus, one's attachment for hearing about material things, which is the root cause of material existence, vanishes, and one gradually develops devotional service to the Supreme Lord, attachment for Him, and friendship with the devotees who give us the contribution of Krishna consciousness. If you think it fit, kindly speak about those activities of the Lord. purport. As stated in the Prema Vivarta, Krishna Bahirmukha Hayaboga Banchakare Nikatastamajatare Japatiya Dhare. Our material existence is Maya, or illusion, in which we desire different varieties of material enjoyment and therefore change to different varieties of bodies. Brahmaniya sarvabhutani jantra rudrani mayaya ashan api kleshada ashadeha. As long as we have these temporary bodies, they give us many varieties of tribulations, adi atmika, adi bhautika, and adi daivika. This is the root cause of all suffering, but this root cause of suffering can be removed by revival of our Krishna consciousness. All the Vedic literatures presented by Vyasadev and other great sages are therefore intended to revive our Krishna consciousness, which begins to revive with Shravanam Kirtanam. Srimvatan Swakata Krishna Bhagavatam 1.2.17. Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures exist simply to give us a chance to hear about Krishna. Krishna has different avatars or incarnations, all of which are wonderful and which arouse one's inquisitiveness. But generally, such avatars as Matsya, Kurma, and Varaha are not as attractive as Krishna. First of all, however, we have no attraction for hearing about Krishna, and this is the root cause of our suffering. But Parikshit Maharaja specifically mentioned that the wonderful activities of baby Krishna, which amaze Mother Yasoda and the other inhabitants of Braja, are especially attractive. From the very beginning of his childhood, Krishna killed Putana, Trinivarta, and Shakatashura, and showed the entire universe within his mouth. Thus, the pastimes of Krishna, one after another, kept Mother Yasoda and all the inhabitants of Braj in great astonishment. The process to revive one Krishna consciousness is Adau Shraddha Tata Shadu Shanga, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.4.15. The pastimes of Krishna can be properly received from devotees if one has to develop a little bit of Krishna consciousness by hearing from Vaishnavas about the activities of Krishna. One becomes attached to Vaishnavas who are interested only in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj recommends that one hears about Krishna's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than the activities of other incarnations, such as Matsya, Kurma, and Varaha. Wanted to hear more and more from Sukadev Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit requested him to continue describing Krishna's childhood past activities, which are especially easy to hear and which create more and more inquisitiveness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Brahmapa Swami Dinamine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine. Vanchakalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So, these are the expressions of Maharaj Parikshit, that if we backtrack a little bit and look at the big picture, he is sitting in the bank of the Ganges, surrounded by the greatest sages, thinkers, philosophers, transcendentalists throughout the whole universe. They came to be with him and assist him during the last few days of his life. He was cursed to die within 7 days. And we know the story that among all the great, great sages and transcendentalists that were present, Sukadev Goswami was chosen or was recognized as the suitable personality to guide Maharaj Parikshit through these last, you know, moments. So now for the last few days, Maharaj Parikshit has been hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and starting with the narrations of the second chapter when Maharaj Parikshit, the second canto, when Maharaj Parikshit presents a question, what is the duty of someone who is about to die? That was his question. And then Sukadev Goswami was very pleased and praised Maharaj Parikshit for such a question and such a mood, and began to narrate the Srimad Bhagavatam. And through the narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he very systematically went to explain the position of the personality of Godhead, Krishna. If we even backtrack a little bit further in the first canto, is first Vyasadev speaking, in his introduction to the whole book, he first established that this book is about Krishna and no one else. So the introduction of the whole Bhagavatam was in the first three verses of the Bhagavatam, in which he established the first thing, the first word that comes out of Vyasadev, Srila Vyasadev's mouth is, or, you know, the first words that he writes is, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And he concludes that first verse as he is Param Satyam Dimahi. He is the Supreme Absolute Truth. And the book, and then further in his introduction, these three verses of introductions, is that this book is going to be this. Unlike the rest of the Vedas, this book is very much focused on pure devotional service, or the type of devotion, the type of actions and activities that are simply connected to the supreme relationship that is there with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anything else that is materially motivated is not present in that book. is only going to be about pure devotional service. And then the third verse, he says that this book is directed to those who are connoisseurs of this most sweet, the sweetness of the loving relationship with the personality of Godhead. And that in itself, that subject matter is considered the cream or the most essential part or teachings of the Vedas. And then he goes on to start with the narrations of the sages of Naimisharanya right after Krishna have left the world, and the sages of Naimisharanya and Maharaj Parikshit already have, you know, that whole thing happened. Then the sages of Naimisharanya gather, and then comes the narrations of this meeting of Sutta Goswami with the sages of Naimisharanya and the questions. And within that narration, it is established that it's about Krishna. So this whole book is about Krishna. The introduction is about Krishna. The questions of the sages of Naimisharanya were not only, okay, what are we going to do to help the people of Kali Yuga? So let us find what is the most essential thing. The essence of all teachings that will help these people of Kali Yuga. But they also wanted to hear about Krishna and Krishna's appearance and different appearances in this world. Krishna and Krishna's different manifestations, incarnations. And they wanted to hear also why Krishna comes. So we have to understand the big picture. Krishna was just, the presence of Krishna just happened. It's, you know, few generations of, at least very close to the presence of Krishna just finishing. So it still was very fresh. And there were personalities still that have been witnessed, you know, in some sense, some of the pastimes of Krishna, or at least very, very close, or at least that had been in association with people who have seen Krishna, who have been in contact with Krishna. So it was very close, and therefore there was the awareness of Krishna's position and how rare this display of Krishna's pastimes happened. We know that from the descriptions of the acharyas that this event of Krishna's appearing in this world and displaying his pastime happens only once in a day of Brahma, which is, you know, a lot of time. So once in a kalpa means once every 1,000 cycles of yugas. So it's a long time. So it's a rare occurrence, once in 1,000. So so they wanted to hear about Krishna. It was established So they say, well, after what now? What's going to happen now that Krishna has left? Then the establishment of religious principles, the protection of religious principles, now are very vulnerable. So where people that when where religious principles would take shelter of? Now that Krishna have left, where would you find a shelter for religiosity? And Srila Sutta Goswami does establish also Krishna's position when he say, "Ete chamsa kalapunsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam," which is considered one of the seed the essential verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam that establish the whole mood of the Bhagavatam. So, in other words, it's all about Krishna. And this has been established throughout from the very beginning. Maharaj Parikshit, he have a direct experience with Krishna. And Maharaj Parikshit was a close associate. He was the son of Arjuna's son and daughter-in-law Uttara. Son is Abhimanyu, and his grandparents was the Pandavas. So he had direct association with those who were very close associates of Lord Krishna. Like we have association with those who were close, who have a close relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So we feel very close to Prabhupada with that association. It's still very fresh because we hear him directly. So similarly, Maharaj Parikshit have that. But Maharaj Parikshit also has a direct connection with Krishna when Krishna saved him within the womb of his mother. He was able to see him there. So, so Maharaj Parikshit naturally wanted to hear the whole thing is about, okay, it is understood Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is established throughout, but systematically everything was arranged to hear about the powers of the power, to understand the power of this personality, Krishna, the Supreme Being, the original personality of Godhead. If we first come to understand how powerful he is, what is his position of supremacy? So the narrations of the Bhagavatam start with the creation. To describe Krishna as a creator. And he goes into this huge detail, the whole description of the Sankhya philosophy. Well, first the creation and how it happens, very complicated, and then goes into a description of Sankhya, how the whole material world it develops, how is the breakdown of the whole material manifestation by the teachings of Lord Kapila, and it goes on like that. So, to understand Krishna's position of supremacy, to understand that becomes essential to come all the way to enter into Krishna's personal pastimes in the 10th canto. So why is that? When it's explained here that Parikshit Maharaj is recognizing that Krishna's pastimes are the most attractive one. They should naturally attractive that even for those who have no inclination to hear, they are attractive. One of the features, so in one sense, they're attractive because they're human-like. And the idea of having a seemingly beautiful, vulnerable baby that will do all these powerful activities. The attractive, the fact that he kills demons is very exciting, but the part that mesmerizes people is his loving relationships. The relationship with his friends, with his mothers and father, with his parents, like that, with the animals. So all these relationships that are there, so they're very attractive. They're very, very attractive because there is something that it touches at the core of every one of us, every living entity in this world, which is, you know, an essential thing that is part of our being, which is love. In reality, we are a manifestation of love. And the essential part is that, yato bhaktir adokshaye, that the most essential thing that makes our existence is the loving relationship with God. So a loving relationship. So in one sense, we made out of that element, the element of this loving relationship. That's the purpose of our existence. That's what we came to be. It's a manifestation of that. And Krishna is the source of that, therefore he is called the word for loving relationship is rasa. And Lord Krishna is the fountain of all loving relationship, is the origin or is the reservoir. Therefore he's called rasa gya. And so when we come in touch with this very, very endearing loving relationships that are described in the presence of Krishna, that are displayed in the presence of Krishna, and we come to hear how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is the main feature, how sweet is his loving relationships, then one naturally becomes attractive because it touches in that core. Touches in that core. That's what people are attractive to soap operas and narrations of love. It does that touch. It touches that. However, So the question, I was asking the question, this rhetorical question, that so if that's the case, why not going directly? Why going to the whole protocol of hearing about things like, you know, you go like dizzy, you know, sometimes when you you hear about the third canto and the whole teachings of Lord Kapiladev on Sankhya, you go dizzy. I can't remember ever the whole thing, the 24 elements, and how they break down, you know, I sort of have a recollection, but it's very technical. Scientific, very complicated. And the descriptions of the universe and the whole thing, you still go dizzy with those things. And philosophy. But the passages of Krishna are very easy to remember, very attractive. And Srila Sukha, Parikshit Maharaj says that you hear the passages of Krishna, you immediately become pure, also immediately purified too, and become attractive. He says, you see how it says here. They're so attractive that they're automatically pleasing to the mind of ear. Thus, one's attachment for hearing about material things, which is the root cause of material existence, vanishes. And one gradually develops devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Attachment for Him and friendship with the devotees who give us the contribution of Krishna consciousness. So why not? Why not? Why having to go, why not directly to Krishna? In fact, that's what generally happens. There are saptahas or festivals of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam that goes for 7 days in a sort of following the 7 days of Maharaj Parikshit listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadev Goswami, but that basically focus on the 10th canto. So why does the acharyas and all the great teachers in the disciplic succession warn us? And some, like Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, prohibit us to directly jump into listening to the 10th canto. Why they're constantly telling us that by their example and by their teachings that we should not dive into the passions of Krishna just like that whimsically. And that's the passions of Krishna. What to speak of the passions of Radha and Krishna, which is now the most, the highest of all the relationships that are there in the passions of Krishna. The relationship with Srimati Radharani. Listening to Prabhupada's Lila, when he was preaching in Madras, in South India, he was invited to this very wealthy person, and his wife, you know, it was, yeah. So him and his wife approached Srila Prabhupada and asking, Swamiji, please narrate the past, the Rasa Lila of Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada responded very polite and nice, like the passage of the Rasa Lila is a very elevated. First, we have to understand Krishna's position, and then you know we can. So that's much later. So Rasa Lila, he says, is only for people who are completely free. Completely free of material contamination. It's only for liberated souls. So you have to qualify yourself to enter in that. So then they say, but Swamiji, we still oblige you. Please tell us, please narrate. And then Prabhupada say the same thing. It's only for liberated person. You have to be pure to be able to hear. If you still, and then he further goes, if you still attached to wife and family, telling this man directly, in a very polite way, you're still a family man. You're still, you know, your wife, you know, you're still, is not appropriate to hear nor to speak about it. But Swamiji, we still insist. And then Prabhupada say, I am not qualified to speak. So please don't ask me. Find someone else. Prabhupada said, I'm not qualified to speak. Of course, we know Prabhupada is most qualified to speak. He is one, a personal associate of Srila Prabhupada, of Lord Krishna, who came very closely connected to Srila Rupa Goswami, who is understood to be one of the Manjari assistants of Srimati Radharani. That has been already revealed. And Srila Prabhupada has this very close connection to Srila Rupa Goswami. But Prabhupada makes that point. So first we have to come to understand, he gave the reason why. Why this whole protocol that it's only Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadev Goswami goes for 10 cantos to get to hear about Krishna's pastimes. We have to understand Krishna's position. To understand Krishna, and the Krishna and associates and the devotees of Vrindavan, especially Srimati Radharani, we have to understand Krishna's position. If we don't do that, if we skip that, and we go directly with all the contaminations of our material experiences and understandings and attachments into learning about Krishna's intimate pastimes, then we won't be able to properly understand it. So it becomes more like a sentimental thing. Doesn't go really deep because it's polluted by those things. So the other thing is, does that mean that we cannot hear about Krishna's? But no. What Srila Sukadev Goswami says is that and Srila Prabhupada highlighted in the purport, we hear from a devotee when a devotee takes us there, but we can be taken there first by being constantly reminded and being constantly, thoroughly thought of Krishna's position. So Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna book very early, you know, before the 10th canto. He gave us a Krishna book, which is the summary 10th canto. And when we read the 10th canto, Prabhupada every moment is reminding us of Krishna's position. In fact, the title of the book, that book is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the title. And that's how Prabhupada help us go through Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. The difficulty that we have is that we want, in general, when we hear about how this is the most elevated thing, naturally we like to have the best, the most elevated thing. So we want to go deeper. Prabhupada has given us in his books the most elevated things, but he has presented this and give it to us in a systematic thing. So Prabhupada has given us from the ABC to the most elevated visions of Srimati Radharani's Tattva in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we have the whole spectrum. But he establishes first, he says that Bhagavad Gita is the graduate study. So you have to learn Bhagavad Gita. You don't go and learn Chaitanya Charitamrita when you don't know Bhagavad Gita very well. What is the use? I mean, you can still read, but to study it, it's almost like, you know, you go into graduate school in learning some basic thing, but you don't study the books of your level. You go to the post, you know, to the PhD books, and that's what you study. There's no application for your level, and there's no, you know, and you will have flaws because you don't have the basis. So the graduate study is Bhagavatam. Therefore, we have something in Prabhupada's system of education philosophy. In fact, the books are sufficient in itself to help us, you know, become Krishna conscious if we learn it properly. Bhagavad Gita, Sri Upanishad, Nectar of Devotion and Nectar of Instruction. Then, the Bhakti Vaibhava is the postgraduate studies, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the Bhakti Vedanta is when you, I think that's how it's called, Bhakti Vaibhava, and then I can't remember if it's Bhakti Vedanta or not, but you know, the last, the post, the PhD, the master, that, you know, when you become act is when you enter to study in depth the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then within the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada recommends that we also should read some of the books of the Vaishnava Acharya, such as Srila Rupa Goswami and so on, that dive even deeply in the intimate relationship of Krishna in Vrindavan, especially with Srimati Radharani. So those are for very, very, very elevated personalities. We do have the tendency that we like to go to the most elevated things. We want to have, we don't want to miss out. And then we may start to read about these highly elevated subject matters. That Prabhupada, throughout, he warned us. There was a situation during Prabhupada's time, with a group of some of his most trustworthy disciples, leaders, that they decided to, when the Chaitanya Charitamrita was given and the nectar of devotion was given, there's certain parts of the nectar of devotion, the certain part in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Krishna book and the Bhagavata, the Krishna book, in which the persons of Krishna with the gopis are described. And these devotees, this group of devotees, leaders within Prabhupada's movement, they form a group that they call the Gopi Bhava group. And they used to read from Srila Prabhupada's books exclusively about this subject matter. When Prabhupada came to know about it, you remember what was his reaction. He was extremely angry and chastised them to no end and almost threatened them with kicking them out of the movement. That's serious. And these were his leaders. And they were not just reading, you know, the books of the Acharyas. They were reading Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada's books. Studying as a group and discussing about the Rasa Lila and the, you know, activities with the gopis. We still have this almost, you know, like strong attraction to just go and dive on Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And, you know, get into especially the relationship with the gopis and with Srimati Radharani and hear about it. But not what Prabhupada. That's not proper system of education for us. So this whole idea that reading about this and that, better you read, you become very conversant with the Bhakti Shastri books. That's our level. And then become conversant with the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti Vaibhava doesn't jump to the 10th canto. To obtain the Bhakti Vaibhava, you first have to master the first six cantos. That's the fire of the Bhakti Vaibhava. And then the second six. You know. So, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we can hear from those PhDs about these things. And that's very nice for us. It gives us entrance to that. So at times we hear from PhDs, transcendental PhDs of this Bhakti Rasamrita, Sindhu, this ocean of the relationship of Krishna's. We hear from them. And we hear these narrations. It's very nice when we go in pilgrimage. We dive into the beautiful pastimes, and then just like Sukadev Goswami, you get very attractive. But it's through the association of these devotees. As far as we're concerned, these devotees are constantly reminding us that we have to fully understand Krishna's position. And to fully understand Krishna's position, you have to become purified. So Prabhupada quotes, you know, the process of how purification happens. There's all these different steps and levels. Ador, Shraddha, Shadu, Sangha, Bhajana, Kriya, etc., etc. So we do have to go to the gradual process. We should not be that impatient to go to the juicy part and happily dive, because for sure the way we're going to the images that we still have that are contaminated within our heart is how this relationship happens in the mundane, in the material world. And that's what we have to free ourselves from. Any comments or questions? I went a little over time, but
And a very nice description about Radha Krishna's first time. So it is stated that one should not describe Radha Krishna's first time in the public. We find that a lot of our devotees, they discuss openly not in Bhagavatam class, even in the big, in the congregations, house also, they describe Radha Krishna's pastimes. You know, very, it is of course very offensive. So, yeah.
I don't necessarily like to pass judgment on that. I feel, but it is clear from also Prabhupada's example. It is very clear. It is well documented that Prabhupada always declined. Not only Prabhupada, Sukadev Goswami declined. They give us, the past sense of Krishna. They give us, a living. Sukadev Goswami didn't even mention the name of Srimati Radharani. So the example is there. It's very confidential. So we have to be careful, People are exposed to Krishna's pastimes because they're very attractive, very attractive. They're most attractive. There's four features that Krishna has that not other manifestation of the personality of Godhead has. And we know that the 64 qualities, those four, that his beauty is supreme. So his beautiful, his beauty. The other one is the sweetness of his pastimes, especially the childhood pastimes. These are we listening to. And the unique relationship that are there. Oh no, the third one is the relationship with the devotees, the feature of the gopis and the gopas and with the parents, the parental. I mean, it's so sweet, it's so attractive, the love that is there, and when to speak when you go with the gopis and what to speak when you go with Srimati Radharani. It's very attractive. And the last one is his flute. But so it is very attractive. And people are exposed to that, and naturally they want to hear about it. Because it's, but it becomes more like entertainment. Like you go to a movie and watch, this sort of ideal situation, in which you sort of get some, it's almost like you get some, what is that word that vicariously? Vicariously. You sort of like get to leave those pastimes. It's very dangerous when you're contaminated. You know? It's very, very dangerous. I mean, something that you hear that... Anyway, you get the picture. When we get to hear, you know, of the exchanges of Krishna with Srimati Radharani and the gopis, I mean, the images that is come is about a boy and a girl. You know, of course, you remember, okay, they're God. But the images is almost like spoil the whole thing. So we have to be very careful. And Prabhupada gave us, just like we hear from Hemangi Mataji, what the GBC decided from Prabhupada's letters and teachings, that the feet of Srimati Radharani should not be visible, even during Radhastami. Even though, you know, in the some of the traditions of in the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is that, you know, you can take darshan of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet during Radhastami. Prabhupada is so strict because he knows what he's dealing. You know, he is the preeminent acharya for Kali Yuga. People of Kali Yuga. So, you know, the whole thing is that no more. That's what we have. So why not follow in Srila Prabhupada? Balaram Prabhu, Rakta, to get to you then. Balaram Prabhu gave a very nice presentation, the Radhastami. You heard it? Balaram Prabhu. Balaram Prabhu is amazing. So, he highlighted Srila Prabhupada's classes for Radhastami. We heard one that day, Radhastami, we heard, you know, Prabhupada's lecture. And Balaram Prabhu was speaking about another lecture in which basically the whole lecture, the lecture that we heard was about 50-something minutes. It was longer for Prabhupada's standard. At least three-fourths of the lecture was about Krishna. Balaram was saying he was listening to this lecture. He was thinking, is this a Janmashtami lecture or is it a Radhastami lecture? Because it was all about Krishna. And then a little bit of Srimati Radharani, and basically saying that very elevated. You know, she's not ordinary. She's not ordinary, like that. So that's how our preaching should be. But you know, we're not to make past judgment or point out, you know, these devotees are doing this or that and that. In general, it's a much safer. But we know by example that we have to be very careful about that. Yeah.
One more thing, that Prabhupada in his lecture, he used to say, I remember, when Lord Chaitanya, he was discussing about Radharani's affair with
Swarup
Damodar, not
and
with
Ramananda Roy, those two.
Yeah,
ones.
Not with the others.
The others about Harinam.
Like, yeah, Harinams and everything.
Yeah.
And also, one more point here. I forgot, what is the difference? Can you give an example for Adhidaivika and Adhyatmika?
He said, Prabhupada in the Purport, he says that this material existence means, you know, you're taking different bodies and you go to all different bodies and you have to be afflicted by all these miseries, the three miseries. The three miserable conditions. So that was the context. Is that what you asked? Adidaivika? What is the difference with Adidaivika and what? Atmika and Daivika?
Adhyatmika, first one.
Yeah.
Adhyatmika. Then Adibhautika. Adibhautika from the body, pertaining to one body, so many diseases and everything.
Oh, the Adi-Atmika is the miseries that are caused by other Atmas.
According to?
The difference that are caused by other living entities. So a mosquito is a living entity and that's causing your misery. A neighbor that is obnoxious is causing your misery. Other living entities. And then Bhautika is your own body causing your misery and your mind. And Daivika is demigod's nature. Yeah, I take Rakta Prabhu and that's it.
Hare Krishna. Is it true that some of those devotees was actually like dressing up like the gopis and trying to act, reenact the pastimes?
No, that was not those devotees. No, this was serious Prabhupada's leaders. I mean, some of them, like worshipable, even Prabhupada disciples. Really. Well, one of them was Tamalkrishna Maharaj, which is, an eternal Prabhupada associate, So, not any, Bhakta Joe or something like that. So, they were big time Srila Prabhupada's followers. And, Prabhupada established that. Okay? Yes, Prabhu.
Did some of the Gopi Bhav Club, when that was, started, did some of the idea for, developing that club, did some of that come from, people from, the Gaudiya Math or something?
Correct.
That's what I remember hearing.
He got, is that exposure. I mean, they were just, studying Prabhupada's books. They say that to Prabhupada, we're just reading your books. We're just, Prabhupada, chastising.
And then, previously, Prabhupada was also warning them not to associate with Gaudiya Math because they were all practicing that, gopi, concentration.
And it was a specific, not necessarily all the Gaudiya Math is like that, but there is some that gets into that whole thing. And up to these days, we have that, it's going to be there all the time. We, if we want to, in ISKCON, we follow Prabhupada, and we follow Prabhupada's mood. So in ISKCON, we do like that, So, just as Prabhupada, just as Karunanidhi Prabhu was saying, that when we speak publicly, we follow Prabhupada's way of presenting publicly the all the subject matters. And as a matter, we should aspire to get to dive, to go deeper. But you don't go deeper before, it doesn't happen. You first have to have, dive. You shallow and then you go deeper. You first have to be, up there. So, it's not that you, deep. Now you drown if you go like that. So you have to have some understanding. So first Bhakti Shastri, why not? What's the problem of reading? And if you want to get into Krishna books and into Krishna's pastimes, why not reading Krishna book? Why do we have to read, the literature of the Goswamis before even being well acquainted with Krishna book? What is lacking? We have plenty of things to learn. So Bhakti Shastra first. become very well acquainted. All right, Grantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sorry for the extended.